Welcome back to another episode of Afternoon Delight. It's Kyle Rush. It's Ben Taylor. That gets me every time. And Ben, I'm pretty mad.
Well, that doesn't take. It takes a lot to get you mad. You're pretty even keel, dude.
I'm pretty mad.
Why are you mad this time?
Auburn gets a commit and drops two spots in the rankings.
Yeah, I didn't quite understand that. Like, and you can what somebody, the heck's
going on?
You follow recruiting. I say this all the time, much closer than I do. Yeah. And so I see that this morning and I'm like, okay, I'm really stupid because I got no idea how this works, because we pick up somebody, we're supposed to be getting better, and apparently we fall out of the top 10 to number 12. Now it could be worse, Kyle. We're not last in the SEC.
Yeah, you're jumping ahead a little bit, but yeah,
not everybody in the state can say that. But how do we fall from whatever it was, 9 or whatever, to 12?
Yeah, these formulas are funny. Auburn gets a commitment yesterday and drops two spots. Mm-hmm. And I know everybody's like, what the heck just happened? Well, the way that – and this is only on Rivals that this happened. On 247, yeah, Auburn dropped one spot. They went from 7 to 8, mm-hmm, I believe. But what's happening is number one, other teams are adding as well. So, like, Auburn's not the only team. Auburn may have had the most commitments over the last month. By the way, 13 commits in a month.
That's pretty amazing.
Pretty crazy. 13 out of 19 in a month. This is Golish's first class. Mm-hmm. Hughes' first class. Out of 21 commits, 17 of them happened after today's date.
Wow.
So that's pretty crazy.
Yes, they're jumping on board early.
So we're adding guys, and we're adding guys at a very high rate, but other people are adding as well. So you can imagine, like, it just depends. Like, if someone behind us that's one spot behind us lands a big, you know, a five-star kid, they're going to jump, you know.
Or lands two at one time. I mean, that could be what happened too.
Exactly. Yeah. Also, on three, they've got this formula where they're trying to throttle it as the season goes. So, like, for example, a couple of weeks ago, they were only taking, like, your top 10 recruits, and they were, mm-hmm, averaging it, and that's how you got your score. And then a couple weeks later, they add a couple recruit. Now it's your top 12. And then they add a couple. Well, they went, and now they're out to your top 15 recruits. So if it may open up to where now one of your lower-ranking guys is being counted in your, mm-hmm, average, and it pulls the average of the group down.
I got you.
So that's part of it, you know, too. Now, tomorrow, if Auburn lands James Pace, and on the 23rd, if they land Deshaun Hall, like you're expected, both of those guys have higher rankings than what Auburn's average ranking score is right now.
Okay.
So do you know how averages work?
Yes.
If you are adding guys higher ranked than your average, mm-hmm, that number's going to go up.
Yeah.
So the crazy thing, Ben, is from 6th place, which is Texas Tech, to 12th place, which is where Auburn is right now on three, there's 1 point separating those.
Oh, wow.
So it's six spots. It's
really closer than everybody realized.
It's like what you're talking about, one or two recruits could just completely – skyrocket Auburn. Now, again,
who'd you say was 6? Texas Tech?
Texas Tech, yeah.
Oh, boy. They just lost the starting quarterback.
They did, which has no effect whatsoever on their recruiting ranking.
Would you rather be 6 and lose your starting quarterback, or you'd rather be 12th and everything's a go?
Yeah, I know what you mean there. But yeah, it's funny how this everybody's so locked in now. It's funny how the narrative has shifted. You know, when we were slower, mm-hmm, I think we were kind of like, you know, it's okay because, you know, we did the whole recruit really well thing and not coach on the field, and we didn't get great results. So let's just go the development route. We'll just go the development route. We're totally okay with it.
We'll get some strong 3-stars, turn them into 4s.
Yeah.
Hopefully they leave as 5s before it's all said and done with.
Fast forward 1 month later, and we're like, recruiting is it, guys. You like, it's always been the most important thing. I've always thought,
yeah,
I never left that boat, by the way. I never left the recruiting doesn't matter, or I never left the recruiting is super important boat ever.
I never left the boat of, I told you I don't follow the recruiting because I'm one of those that, and you have helped change my mind because I was one of the old fogies you and I have talked about where, hey, get them signed and then I'll start believing you. But now you sign them in December, they can leave in January. So that doesn't even matter anymore. But I've always been on the boat of, that's why I think it's funny that you and I did a pod talking about, you know, how important high school recruiting still is. Yeah. Like, it was always in, I was never one of those. I think a lot of people fell in love with the portal right when it first started, which, don't get me wrong, you do need portal players, but you need high school kids too, because we've clearly proven when you and I did the breakdown that they don't leave. They do during a coaching change. But other than that, if you can get them in and, you know, get them moved in and get them on a practice field, they probably are going to stay. There's a 90% chance they're going to stay. So, yeah. High school recruits are important. So, yeah, it's, I do wonder, it's funny too, kind of where the cutoff is with people, because I see other programs, not just Auburn, but like you and I, you talked about how you're mad because we went from top 10 to now we're out of the top 10. But I do wonder where people, that cutoff is like, hey, if we finish in the top 20, I'm happy, because then you know that you can make up for it in the portal, maybe, you know, maybe later find some needs going into next year with this 20. So what is that cutoff? It ain't 50, I can tell you that, which is
64th.
Is that where they are now?
That's where they were, I think, the last time we talked. Hold on, let me hit load gracious. More. Let me hit load more really quick.
Well, you're going to have to hit that twice probably, Bub, because it's if it's 64, it's going to be three pages down.
70th.
Holy moly.
On 247.
So. Well, that's, you know, when you and I did the show yesterday, I told you I'd visited with, you know, Doug out of Montgomery, and he was claiming 57th or something like that. So,
yeah, they're 70th on 247. Just, they're about to overtake San Diego State at any moment.
Big program out on the West Coast.
It's going to take them a couple recruits to jump Texas State, but San Diego State, beware. The tide's coming.
Well, there. I told you. I've been told already. It is quality, not quantity, that they're doing.
They don't have either, buddy. I got news for you. You got one good one. You got one really, really good one.
That was one of the media guys from Alabama. When he follows me, and when I was listening yesterday, he follows me on the show, and I was like, man, he is singing the praises of DeBoer. And I just wonder when that, because Kyle, I told you, it's all about trends. If it's this bad now, does it get worse next year? And then the year end, they just signed into an extension. And I'm just curious, like, when their breaking point is, when their cutoff point is. So it is going to be interesting to see over the next couple of seasons. Retention, that was the other thing I said. You can either pay to retain them, or you can pay for high school recruits.
You got
to
pick one.
And I was like,
you can't have both.
Texas A&M are doing both.
You know, nuh-uh. Let me tell you right now. You can only spend it one way. You got to figure out which one you want. And that's it. That's all you got. You can either retain them or you can recruit them.
I do want it. You think he's physically said that in front of like a group of, you know, donors?
No, dude. It's just, I mean, I get it. Yes. Like, even us, even like we try to see silver linings and things, but there's there's at some point you just got to say, hey, we're either tapped out on money, or we didn't manage things well, or we're just missing right now. And we got to figure it out. They got to figure it out. It's okay to say that. It doesn't change the fact
not
that
in, probably not in still going to be. Not in some programs. That's not okay to say.
I guess you're right, but I don't know, man. It's funny. I want to get back to your conversation.
Yeah.
You started it, and now
what the cutoff is.
That's a great question.
Yeah, because I'm one of those where I'm like, hey, if we can get a top 25 class, I think that it's probably a pretty good class, because if you can get some good coaching and development, even out of 4 and 5 stars, I mean, people always say, oh, you get a 5-star. You still got to develop them. They were a 5-star in high school. playing high school football is a whole lot different than playing SEC Saturdays. So you still got to develop it and get them bigger, and not just that, get them to learn things on the field that they weren't able to learn, and the maturity factor. So if you can get a top 25 class, I think that you're, I mean, is there a big difference between who's number one and who's number 25, Kyle? Yes. But you just said it yourself when you look at the point system right there. There ain't much of a difference between number six and number 14 as far as recruiting class is concerned. So, you know, what is the cutoff point? To me, in my eyes, I say top 25 class. But some people may go, no, we got to be inside the top 15. Or some people may say top 20.
So there was a class that Clemson had a while back. And I think you got to go back a bit. And I think this is the answer to my question. There was a class that Clemson had, and for whatever reason, this is right whenever they're just freaking, you know, rocking and rolling. Yeah. And they're just recruiting lights out. Yeah. And all of a sudden, they drop outside, like, the top 20 or something.
Mm-hmm.
And come to find out, they only took, like, I don't know, 15 kids that year or something. Yeah. I can't remember the year, but I know it happened. And if you look at the class, it's like freaking loaded. Like those seven, it was seven. No, it wasn't that one. Here it is. Excuse me. 14 commits in 2017. It says they were 11th on this On3. On3 wasn't even around then. But anyway, they had 2 5-stars in the class.
Mm-hmm.
A pile of 4-stars. I actually don't think out of all the recruits, they had 2 5-stars and only 2 3-stars, and the rest were 4-stars.
Mm.
And you just piled in a bunch of talent. So I think my answer is the size of your class that you need matters as far as total ranking. And I think that can be misleading. So to the comment that was made by the Bama guy, quality does matter more than quantity, if that's what you need for your roster. So if it only requires you, if you legitimately only need to add like 15 guys, as long as you're adding 15 of like the best guys in the country, I don't care what the final number, because it's all a formula. And a lot of times classes that have more kids, you got more to spread out. You got more room to, you know, have, you got more opportunities to have higher ranked guys to inflate your score. So I don't necessarily look so much at overall ranking as I do like average player ranking. Like, where does my average player stack up? And then am I filling my needs?
Mm-hmm.
And as long as you do that, I don't care what the ranking. I don't care what the ranking
is. Okay, so you don't have like a cutoff point. Like,
I don't have a real cutoff point. To me, it's all about, like, for example, if this was a year we actually went really small, did you get some talented offensive linemen? Like, mm-hmm. did you get some talented defensive linemen? Did you fill your needs? And if you got a bunch of pile of 4-stars and you only signed, you know, 13 to 15 guys and they're all highly rated guys, like, I don't care. I don't care where that number comes out. I just, as long as you're adding quality guys, is that a cop out answer or is that?
No, it's not. I mean, the way you're describing it, and this is, people are listening to this, they're going to be, oh, well, Ben, you're wearing your orange and blue glasses. The way you're describing it is better than the way, let's say, he described it. Because the thing is he said quality, not quantity. And I was like, yeah, but that's the thing. They're not getting the quality.
They don't have either.
Yeah, they don't have either. Like, he keeps saying that. And, yeah, but he even said, I mean, they're up to, I forgot how many they got, but he said they're probably tapping out at 16. Like, that's okay, all.
So let's walk that out. Let's walk that out. That means 8 more guys.
Yeah.
Okay. So let's assume that they don't add any. Let's assume they add 8 more guys, and all 8 of those are going to be good players. Mm-hmm. You got a 5-star quarterback, and then you have an unranked 4-star quarterback, and then the rest of them are 3-star guys. So I don't think that necessarily is going to qualify you unless all 8 of those are 5-stars.
And
I don't know. Somehow you get 8 top 100 guys, which there's not even that many out there that are uncommitted. Mm-hmm. The pathway is not really there for there to be 8 elite players to add to get to 16.
Right.
To get to the 16. Does that make sense? So like,
no, that's why I told you, that's why I had an issue with what he was saying. Cause I was like, I understand what his thought process was when he said it.
I agree with him 1,000,000%.
Right. But what I don't think he understands is they got eight more to get, and there's not eight top 100s that you can basically say 100% we're getting those guys. And so out of that eight, they may get four quality guys out of that, four top 100 players out of that eight that they want. But the other four may be two stars. So,
Ben, there's a receiver. He's the number eight player in the country. Okay. Mm. He's from Indiana. His name's Monshun Sales. Do you know what his nickname is from Indiana? You know what his nickname is?
Mm-mm.
Bama. He has an Alabama room in his house. Okay.
Yeah.
In Lawrence North, Indianapolis, Indiana. They call him Bama. He's got a Bama room. He ain't going to Bama.
Uh-oh.
It's between Ohio State and Indiana as of now. Now, could they swoop in at the end and get him? Sure, maybe. But, like, that's what I'm talking about. Like, that can't happen.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, that's a top 100 guy. And then you just scroll through and you don't see Alabama's name on any of these, you know, Rivals has this little prediction machine thing where it's like, this school's X amount of percentage chance of getting them, and then this school, and you scroll through, and just Alabama's just not on any of these lists. They got one. I'm looking at one right now. So there's a Hayden Stepp. He's a cornerback from Las Vegas.
Mm-hmm.
They're leading the prediction on adding him. So that would be the number 40 player in the country.
You say corner or quarter?
Corner.
Okay. Yeah. Corner. Okay.
And then, I mean, in the top 50, that's it. Osonni Gales, it's a wide receiver that they apparently lead for. So there's yet another one in the top 100. So there's two. You just got to keep going down the list.
Yeah, but when we look at, you know, the previous years across the state, I mean, they've made their bread and butter off defensive linemen and offensive linemen, you know, and grabbing a linebacker. I mean, don't get me wrong. I mean, you got Ryan Williams over there. I mean, I understand they do have some good wide receivers, and they've put some wide receivers in the league. But we all know that, I mean, Saban made his money off those defensive linemen and those big, you know, those big hogs up front that protected his quarterbacks. In theory, what he was saying, like you said, in a vacuum, I completely agree with him. But when you look at the scenario as it presents itself, and signing day being in December, not in February, then I just don't know that the quality that he thinks they're going to get is out there for them to get.
Yeah.
So
to answer your, to go back and answer your overarching question, if that's Auburn's class right now, I am panicking.
Yeah, I'm worried. That's the thing.
I'm worried. I'm thinking there's not a real chance for this to end well end ideally. So I guess that's my answer. The ranking positions are fun, and like being in the top 10 and all that matters, but like I'm more concerned with, are we filling our needs? And I love what they've done on the offensive line. I love what they've done so far on the defensive line, and they could add another one tomorrow in James Pace. And like, listen to this about James Pace, okay? So the Rivals industry average, it averages three rankings: your Rivals ranking, your ESPN ranking, and your 247. Okay. On 247, he's the number 133 player in the country. On ESPN, he's the number 82 player in the country.
Ooh.
And then on Rivals, he's actually a three star on their Rivals ranking. Okay. So my thing is Rivals may not have even had their latest update.
Yeah.
On James Pace. So if they update this thing, particularly after he, you know, if he commits to Auburn tomorrow, if he gets up to where he's in the, you know, top 150, he could shoot up into like a, you know, a top 100 player in the industry average.
Mm-hmm.
And that just bolsters Auburn's class even more. I say all that to say they are adding elite guys. Like they're getting a pile of elite guys that can be difference makers. And I think that is vastly more important than where you finish in the rankings. But man, if you take, if you're getting these guys though, where you finish kind of takes care of itself.
Yeah, it does. I mean, especially when you get up into the numbers that you and I have talked about, the projections of being somewhere between 20 and 25. I mean, you know, you get elite guys out of that, and then it's going to do nothing. It handles itself.
It'll handle itself.
Yeah. I just, the way I was looking at it, and I, you know, to keep bringing him, you know, bringing that guy Luke back into it and talking about Bama, was I put the shoe on the other foot. I thought, how would I feel if this was Auburn's class right now
with two quarterbacks?
Would I be as painting as rosy a picture as he is, you know, for Alabama? And I got to tell you, it would be a no, because number one, what you just said, hey, that's great that you got two great quarterbacks. They can't play at the same time. So
they can't block for each other either.
Yeah, that's kind of a wash in my opinion. I mean, it's great and it looks great numbers wise, and it's helping you in the, like you just said, as far as the equation is concerned and the averages, it's helping you. But yeah, at the end of the day, it's not like you got two defensive linemen. You got two quarterbacks where there's only going to be one of those dudes on the field at one time. So I would say if the shoe's on the other foot, I would be worried as an Auburn fan if we were in that position. Regardless of what the ranking said, I would be worried because I would not feel that the needs have been met. So no, I think it's a combination of, yeah, it takes care of itself as far as moving you up the rankings. But when you get quality guys that are going to be plug and play guys, because you see a need and you're going to need it, you're going to need those players for, you know, the next 2 or 3 years. Then again, whether you're 25th in the rankings or you're 12th in the rankings or you're 7th in the rankings, if you got everything you needed, you've done a good job.
I wonder where they rank in the SEC. Do you know?
They were last, weren't they?
Dead last. That was so funny that I had to clip the ending of the show yesterday. I just thought that was the greatest ending.
It's phenomenal. Phenomenal because
I had no idea what I was going to say.
I had no idea. That was what made it so good. Because I told you, and you knew, because I don't keep up with it. So you knew I would not know. And so
I don't think I knew all what I was going to say either.
Yeah. So you just threw that grenade in my lap. You're like, hey, you know, they're dead last.
I was like, we're going to get out of here, but just want to let everybody know Alabama's dead last in the SEC in recruiting. If you don't remember a single thing that we talked about today, June 17th.
The best part. That was the best part. If you don't remember anything we've talked about, remember this.
Yeah.
Alabama's dead last.
They still are, by the way. On June 18th.
Well, they haven't added anybody since you and I talked last.
All right, hopefully tomorrow will be a fun day. Add some guys. We don't get blown away by the tropical depression. I've had so much fun wiped away by rain the last couple of days. We did get to play golf, so that was fun. But
yeah, you and I got to play. We actually dodged a bullet there. However, you had a better place lined up as far as today was concerned, and I hate it for you because I've been
could have played, by the way. Could have got it in.
Yeah, y'all could have got it in.
Yeah. All right. That's neither here nor there.
Not to rub salt in the wound.
That's neither here nor there. Recruiting's still fun. Recruiting still matters, unless you're Alabama right now. Guys, y'all have a great rest of your day. We're out of here. War Eagle.
War damn Eagle.